Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Episode 139, I'll be Leah, you'll be Tom.
Oh, excuse me, I was experiencing Le Petit Mort, the little death. I am awake and ready.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Sorry, it wasn't. That's the wrong context to use that phrase. It's a rough start.
It's not a rough start, really, because I think what we were aiming for was something that we don't usually do.
But
I don't think you've ever said that at the beginning of the podcast.
This is true. I enjoy that phrase. It's a French term for the sleepy time that happens after special time. That was not what was happening with us at all.
No, that's true.
We should reiterate that.
Iterate and reiterate. Can you reiterate?
Yeah, okay. I think so. I've been powered down since last episode, so I was just booting back up.
Booting back up, ready for action. I don't think I said to you, but I'm going to be like the Matrix, like the robots. I'm going to be sucking your energy for my own today, and I already feel like you're hyping me up, so that's good.
Okay, then consider me your vampire familiar, and
yes,
you can draw my energy as required, because I'm bursting with it today. I don't know why. I've had no sleep.
Maybe that's why. You get to that point where you're overtired, where you become...
I've gone mad.
Yeah, gone mad.
It's great. The impending baby, the second wave, everything going on. I've gone mad. It's
everything
awesome.
Everything is awesome.
But I've gone mad with news and excitement of this good stuff happening this weekend especially. We'll get into it in the news.
We will get into it. I've got a lot of news as well, so I'm wondering how much of it will overlap, because you've kind of hinted to me at a few things that you're going to talk about, and I hadn't even heard of it. So
maybe we've got some Voltron-esque escapades coming up.
Perhaps.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. You may have noticed a reduction in the town's internet speed this week. At first, it was thought the increase in Zoom meetings might have been the cause, but Donnie the IT guy fessed up. He's been downloading the whole entire internet as a just-in-case. When asked what that just-in-case would be, he shrugged his shoulders, said, "Just because," tapped on the side of his Google glasses and walked back inside his house. We are still trying to confirm the point of said eyewear in 2020. Plans are underway for the drive-in to screen local filmmakers' short films next month. Organisers have already received a heap of movies with a wide variety of topics, genres and quality. Max Chen is the youngest person to submit a film. The 7-month-old's mother has helped him make a montage of accidentally filmed footage Max has been recording when he takes his parents' phones and tries to eat them. The phones, not the parents. There's still time to enter your short film. Simply drop it off at the drive-in's drive-thru. The council has reiterated that even though their colouring in competition was intended for children, there's nothing stopping adults from picking up their Derwents and taking part as well. Everyone in Watchersville is invited to bring to life through colour the picture of 1921's infamous mass colouring in competition that was held in the town square. You can choose to colour in at home or the square if spacing allows. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I've changed the quiz to not even a would you rather. It's we're putting two people or two characters head to head, and we've got to figure out who will become victorious. Who will be the champ out of the two of them? Should we give it a name? Champ it up?
Yeah, champ it up.
Champ it up. The champ it up will be coming up later in the episode, and I believe you've got something.
Yeah, I like that segment idea. I've also come up with a segment idea of my own that I think we could do for at least a few weeks.
Okay.
It's called the Tom Appreciation segment.
We're going to appreciate you?
No. We are going to appreciate different Toms from cinema and television.
I like this idea. Mm. So one each episode?
Oh, yeah. Look, we can rip the Band-Aid off now. We're going to start with Tom Hardy, because this week I watched Mad Max Fury Road back-to-back with Venom. I didn't even get to Dark Knight Rises because I was having my Tom Hardy silly accent trilogy.
His accent is phenomenal. Bane Marshall.
I was born into the darkness. You merely adopted it.
Yeah, Bane is great.
So iconic.
His Mad Max is just...
Yeah, that's right.
Max. A lot of grunts.
And Venom, I haven't seen Venom, so what's his voice like in that?
Eddie Brock is twitchy and like he's very cool in New York when he starts. Uh-huh. He's in San Francisco now. But like as he gets more infected with the parasite, as he calls it, he becomes more twitchy and weird noises start coming. And then the Venom voice. Ooh. And it's his voice. And like they've underlaid and like messed with it.
Have they lowered it?
Super. So you can, and the crazy thing is you can still hear his voice in there because
it's clever.
It's the voice is coming from his own vocal cords being operated by the alien.
Ooh.
So his voice is in there and you can still hear him doing the accent, but then he's also doing the voice here and layering it and then they're boosting it somehow. And it does this whole thing. And at one point, half the Venom mask pulls back and then his voice comes through even clearer. Very, very clever. But yeah, Tom Hardy, what a guy. I've been enjoying his CBeebies bedtime stories. I don't know if you've come across those, but CBeebies is the very young children's channel over in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
BBC for kids.
Okay, yep, I get you.
CBeebies. And they quite often have celebs on to read a bedtime story at night. And Tom Hardy did one about a year and a half ago and it went so insanely viral and was like the most watched thing they'd ever done. So he now just has a camera set up in the backyard and I think it's about two or three nights a week at the moment. He's recording really positive stories with good messages and like, you know, talks to the camera the whole way through, play school style.
Is he reading, like is it a scripted story or is he just making it up on the spot, do you know?
He's got a book.
Like, oh, it's a book. Amazing.
Hello, children. Today we'll be reading this book. It's by a lovely author named this.
I want to see
this. I really enjoy this story because it's about friendship. And in these troubling times, I'm missing my friends, so stories about my friends are always welcome.
Oh, this sounds like untapped gold that I didn't even know existed, and now
this is what I mean. This is the Tom.
This is a good watching
appreciation
suggestion.
Segment. We're gonna watch a Tom thing. Mm-hmm. We'll enjoy the Tom thing, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna come with another Tom thing to go and discover with that Tom. So we've started with Tom Hardy. Where will we go next on the Tom appreciation segment?
Only Tom will tell.
I'll tell you next week.
Oh my gosh, what a great segment.
Thanks.
What I'm going to have done is at some point during that, there'll be a little bit of a theme song or even just like some sound effect that goes on underneath. I don't know what it is. Do you want it at the beginning now or?
I would like the from the beginning of What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones.
So specific.
We don't need to do that because that would probably cost us lots of money.
Oh, that's...
Maybe you could find a fun drum filter called Tom Toms and bang them.
I reckon with the plethora of ridiculous sounds that we have found over the years, we're going to find something.
Sure, there's got to be a band called the Tomatoes or something.
If your band is called the Tomatoes, let us know. Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com and tell us we can use a 2-second segment from one of your songs. 2 seconds would be fine, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's all it warrants. It's not a big segment, but we'll have some fun.
It's a fun segment. Let's get into the news.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Big weekend coming up.
Yeah, I mentioned I'm pretty excited. So should be at Comic-Con, but it's not happening, but it's happening online. Who knows how it will go? There's meant to be like 200 different panels or something streamed over the course of the weekend.
That's awesome.
I haven't looked into it enough. I don't think you need to buy a ticket for any of them. I'm sure they wouldn't like wall off a couple.
It's kind of like the summer gaming, you know, all the different streams where Sony and whoever.
Yeah, look, there's going to be lots of comic book creators talking about stuff and lots of anime people talking about things and a lot of the, like all the smaller panels that always occur. But I imagine that Saturday America time, which is early Sunday morning for us, will be, you know, that's the equivalent. That's Saturday afternoon in Hall H is where all the big reveals are. Marvel, DC, they do their big film releases. Sony, Universal, Warner Brothers, everyone's showing off what they've got.
Mm.
So I expect we're going to see some of their stuff there. What that stuff will be, I don't know.
Mm.
Because normally we would have a pretty good idea, thanks to release schedules, of what's coming. But with that all thrown out, the Tenet is now just off the release schedule. They'll put it back on at some stage.
Yeah, they really want that theatrical release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that deserves the theatrical release. So I get all that. Marvel, under normal circumstances, I would be like, oh, yeah, they'll be showing off footage from the Eternals. We haven't seen anything from that.
In fact, was it last year?
That they this revealed time last the cast. Year?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. So I expected that we would be seeing plenty of that.
Mm.
We should have been getting Winter Soldier and the Falcon in like 3 weeks.
And when was WandaVision supposed to come out? That was a bit later, wasn't it?
November. I think November, December, somewhere
we
there.
We have seen footage and a trailer of that.
From what I understand, they have finished filming on that and it's all effects work. So it is still planned for later in the year. Falcon and the Winter Soldier was 9 days from being finished. So it's, do they release the 5 and not the 6th episode?
Well, I mean, if they do that, then it's going to be similar to the Walking Dead season finale. We didn't get it.
But it's Marvel. It's they can't do that because however it ends will lead into the next one. So they're in a real pickle here. Anyway, I'm excited to see what sort of stuff they reveal because a lot of what they talk about will be shifting plans. And once we've got a bit more idea of what that is, I have a feeling that if ever there was a company that's in a position to give back a bit of goodwill, it's Marvel.
Yeah.
And that could be, hey, everyone, here's the first 5 or 10 minutes of Black Widow.
People will love that. Fans will just – no, it's not fan service, but it will service the fans.
This is the first summer season, so winter for us, in 10 years that hasn't had a Marvel movie.
That's crazy. Wow.
That's how much
when you
they've
put
become
it into that
of,
perspective. Yeah,
that's how much they're part of the cultural landscape. Mm. So there's all sorts of big things that are not happening at the moment, but that's one of those things that you might not even really consider, but it has been a benchmark for the time passing each year of early May or late April, early May, there's always a Marvel movie.
I saw on Twitter earlier, Katie from For Your Reference podcast was replying to someone who's like, is anybody else kind of happy that we're having a bit of a break from superhero storylines? You know, that's not a common sort of thought at the moment, but I can imagine some people would have been over it.
Yeah.
Watched it out.
Superhero fatigue.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. And she said, you know, while she enjoyed the Marvel movies, she thought that Avengers Endgame ended it really well. Having said that, she's really pumped for, like we are, Umbrella Academy and The Boys second season.
Yep.
So there's still stuff around if you want your superhero fix.
That's it. And those things appeal even better to anyone who's dealing with superhero fatigue because they're lampooning and taking the piss out of superheroes. Yeah. Likewise, people who love superheroes love those shows because they get all the references. They're ticking a lot of boxes, people. Mm. I completely respect and agree that there's plenty of superhero fatigue out there. I don't watch the DC movies because of that. You know, I pick and choose through that. Loved Shazam, enjoyed Aquaman. I think in these troubling, uncertain times and whatever, we fall back on myth and it's how humans have been for centuries. And superheroes are the modern myth that, you know, Marvel ones almost all relate back to people from the Greek pantheon. And you know, Spider-Man is Bugs Bunny, who is Anansi, the spider god, the trickster, storytelling, all this
You've
sort of stuff.
You've got Loki in there. Yeah, yeah.
It is a core belief of humanity of, you know, not necessarily a god, but the gods.
Mm.
And when faced with crisis, we fall back on those stories. And I think that is something that is going to continue to be true moving forward.
I agree. And I think that's why having a service like Disney Plus is really important for people at this time, because you now have access to every Marvel movie. You have access to every Star Wars, because Star Wars they're telling the oldest tales around. Like, you know, George Lucas has never said that he's breaking the mold story-wise. He's telling tried and true stories because it's the stuff that humans, we connect with. And whether you've seen the Marvel movies or the Star Wars or whatever movies before, or even old Disney stuff, they're telling old fairy tales. They're the stories that tick those rhythmic boxes story-wise for the human brain to go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you finish watching them going, feel better now.
That's just it. It's not a time for confronting films. Look, some people, that's their release, and more power to you. You know, I love a good horror movie when the time is right, but lately has not been the time for me.
Yeah.
It's not positive. So these larger-than-life characters are really important.
It's escapism, really.
Yep, and it's hope.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff is really important. And sometimes, unfortunately, hope has to come from aspiration to something that we can't obtain. Mm. We can't be Batman.
Mm.
We can't, you know, you definitely can't be Superman. But it's real nice to imagine.
Spider-Man as well.
You could be Kick-Ass.
Hang on, who's this Kick-Ass character you talk of?
Oh, he's the dude that just wears a scuba suit and gets beat up in an alley.
We could potentially be that person.
Well, he gets beat up so bad and then gets hit by a car. They put metal, he has to have metal plates put all through his body, and then he can take a beating better.
It almost sounds like, what was his name? The $6 million man.
Yeah. Put him back together. It was that, but really, really budget. And just medical stuff of like he had to have pins inserted and things, and so he could, it just meant that he didn't break as easy. That's the only ridiculous. Sort of power he had.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
You were very kind enough today to bring in the physical copy. Well, you can only get it physically, can't you?
Yep.
The Negan Lives comic book, kind of like not a spin-off, but an offshoot of The Walking Dead.
I believe the term is not, it's not a prelude as before, it's a coda.
I think it's a coda.
So it's a story set after the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It doesn't explicitly say when it is, but from the main series, Negan not disappeared. He just kind of wandered off at one point because he wasn't part of. Like he wasn't adding to the community, and he needed to find himself, get his head right.
Yeah, right.
And it alluded that maybe he went and tried to find his wife who died at the very beginning of things, and he never buried her.
Yeah,
and. Well, you know, this story isn't that story, which when I got that, I was like, oh, I know when this will be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that at all. Instead, it's a very quiet moment with Negan.
Nice.
That sets up him going on a further redemptive journey.
Amazing.
Whether they'll ever return to it or not, I don't think so. He says in the back that he had no intention of doing it, but the situation in the world, Negan got under his skin and was like, you need to tell one more story. Come on.
And he did.
Yep.
It's so great that they're, you know, well, it's not just Robert Kirkman. It's Charlie as well.
Yep.
So I'm really excited about reading that. And it's funny that you brought this in today because today there was news of a new cast member for season 11 of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I say new, but it's not really a new character. They've announced the actress who is playing... They think it's going to be Stephanie from the comic books, but it's the lady that Eugene has been speaking to over the two-way.
Yep.
99% chance she's from the Commonwealth. Margot Bingham, her name is. She's been in stuff like Spike Lee, She's Gotta Have It, New Amsterdam, $1, HBO's Boardwalk Empire she was in as well for a bit. So she's, you know, she's got quite a... back catalogue of cool stuff that she's been in. But I remember seeing along with this on Twitter, you know, people were sort of talking about it and they were like, well, it's not really, it's like the official announcement, not the technical announcement, because her name has actually been in the credits of the episodes that she has, added her voice to.
Sure. So they could have cast someone else.
They could have.
But they didn't because she was doing a good job.
Exactly.
I like it.
But what I like about it is, we've got some more Walking Dead news because they also gave – well, Robert Kirkman actually gave a little update about the movie because, of course, we heard that Rick went off in the helicopter, was going to make a movie. In fact, it was going to be a trilogy or something, wasn't it? Yeah. And then we saw Michonne in her last episode of The Walking Dead where we were like, oh, give us hope for the movie again. And then obviously with everything that's happened – nothing. Well, they didn't really give us any news except they just kind of went, it's still happening. They're using this time, they said, to develop and work on the script more.
Makes sense.
It's still happening.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah.
So that's made me happy. But I wonder how much stuff they're banking up storyline-wise, like Marvel, because they can't play... They can't play their spin-off
into the spin-off
until they play the finale.
Yeah, and then there's fear.
Yeah, and then they probably can't play they probably couldn't do the movie or reveal too much of the movie after all of that has happened. Yeah. There's timelines everywhere. It's just all like stalled and...
Stupid world.
Yeah, I know, right? What else have you found in the news this week?
So a quick one on renewal is that Netflix has renewed Space Force for season 2.
Really?
Yes, which was very divisive with critics. Mm. But people seem to enjoy it. But even a lot of people were grumbly about it.
I didn't
get through it.
I didn't get through it either. I watched a few episodes, maybe about 4 or 5, and I found myself just playing on my phone. And it's one of those ones that it was fine, but I have dropped off it and I know I'm not going back.
Upload was the better Greg Matthews show from this year. That's my take. Yeah, okay, another thing. I love Shark Week.
Mm.
It's way up there. I get excited every year when it rolls around this year. So I don't think, maybe 2 years ago they had Phelps versus Jaws, which was Michael Phelps swimming next to a great white shark to see which is faster. Now, computer trickery. It was CGI done and this sort of stuff. But they sold it for a week beforehand that Michael Phelps was getting in the ocean with shark. This year, Tyson versus Jaws. They got Mike Tyson. I thought you got excited like I mentioned Titus from Kimmy.
Oh, no.
Imagine
but
him
that
fighting
would be
a Jaws.
That would be amazing. I would watch that over and over again. Watch it so often.
No, Mike Tyson is going to punch out a shark.
Wow. I can't remember what they got Shaq to do.
Shaq was just swimming with him because he was terrified of him.
That's right. They promised that he wasn't going to and then they made
and
him.
They
that's
him
right.
Into
I knew
it.
There was something.
And that was
to
all
it.
Done in a tank and this sort of stuff. Yeah. So Rob Riggle's still involved. He's been very involved the last few years.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to rope Joel McHale and that crew in again. Like last year, they took a few of those. Who is it? Kevin Hart, Joel McHale, Anthony Anderson.
What about, can you imagine Donald Glover getting in there with a shark?
Sure.
I think he'd probably be more game than some.
Oh, yeah, he seems a risk taker.
Not just musically.
No. So, yeah, I'm down with that. August 9th, that kicks off.
Gee, that's soon.
It's not long to wait. My thoughts and prayers are with Mike Tyson. I hope he performs well in the big bout against a shark.
Wasn't there that Aussie surfer?
Yeah, punch a shark.
Yeah. And then swam away.
No, it was Kelly Slater. And plenty of Aussie surfers have done it. But wasn't Kelly Slater in a competition?
It was in a competition.
A shark came at him and he punched him and then kept going.
I'd be like, and this is my last day surfing.
Nah.
Oh, now this is casting I can get behind. John Hamm has been cast to play Fletch.
I saw that.
In a new reboot. They've got the director from Superbad, Greg Mottola.
Did he also, I think he also did Pineapple Express.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, he's done a heap of great stuff.
Oh, he has. I love Greg Mottola. He's got great taste. I'm still waiting for him to do a Marvel film. Because I think in the same way Peyton Reed does the Ant-Man movies, but he started out with Bring It On and this sort
of
stuff.
That's right, he did too.
I think Greg Mottola would be a very welcome fit to the Marvel Universe.
Let's have a look at, let's see what he's done. Adventureland.
Yep.
This is interesting. He did 4 episodes of The Newsroom, that's serious.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he did that. Superbad. Paul. Keeping Up with the Joneses with Isla Fisher and John Hamm in it. That's
the link.
That makes sense. This is going to, I love those Fletch movies. I just think they're so fun. And I think.
Have you seen much of John Hamm doing comedy?
Yeah.
He's spectacular.
I mean,
he was great on 30 Rock. That's where he was the
bumbling doctor.
He was
love
too,
interest.
Too hot, right?
That's right. Yep.
Yep.
In his hands. There's a whole heap.
What's it called? I don't think it was called The Good Doctor, but it was him and Daniel Radcliffe.
That's right.
Did a show where they were doctors in Russia or something at the turn of the century.
That wasn't bad. I didn't see much of it.
I watched the whole thing, but it was years ago.
Yeah, that was good. So about Fletch, do you remember, this is years ago, there was talk that Kevin Smith was going to make a Fletch
reboot.
Yes,
for a long, long time.
Ages, and he wanted to cast Jason Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, Miramax's head honcho, the man who shall not be named, was like, no, we need Ben Affleck. And Kevin Smith was like, I don't want Ben Affleck in that role. That's not
right.
That's not what I want. Anyway, Ben Affleck wasn't interested, so it never happened.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded a bit of Jason Lee as Fletch, but I'm really happy about John Hamm. I can see him. He's perfect for this role. Because you've got to be suave, because that's what Fletch is, but bumbling at the same time. Yep. Which is what Chevy Chase did perfectly.
Very difficult.
There's not many people you can cast for this. And John Hamm is
So is it I don't think it's a straight remake of Fletch though, is it? Aren't they adapting one of the other books?
Yeah, Confess Fletch is the book. It's the second book of the series they're adapting. You're right. Yeah, so it's going to be a completely different story. I've just found the synopsis. He finds himself in the middle of multiple murders, one of which pins him as the prime suspect. As if that wasn't enough, he's tasked with finding his fiancée's stolen art collection acquired after her father goes missing and is presumed dead. Perfect Fletch storyline. Whole heap of stuff going on. Comedy gets in the way. It's going to be good.
Answering writers' pup patrol distress calls like a pro. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
It looks like, and there's nothing official about this, but it looks like Sony, Marvel and Tom Holland are potentially working out another deal for more Spideys moving forward. Maybe six. So that would be three for Marvel.
Wait, six with Tom Holland?
Yes.
Wow.
So by that, I mean six appearances. Okay. So that would be three Marvel movies.
Still.
Like Avengers or other things. And then three Sony Spider-Man films.
That's a lot of it's a lot of Spider-Man standalone with him.
It turns out it's not just fans that want to see him grow up into that character, and there's a lot of executives salivating at the thought of, we could do 15 years of movies with this guy and we could see Peter Parker become middle-aged with him. What, that would be an amazing legacy to leave with film. No one really does that. You get, you know, Richard Linklater does his the seven-year movie.
Yep.
Where I can't remember what that – he's done a few of them where he checks in with people every few years. And imagine that, but in the Marvel Universe in real time. It's cool.
That's really cool.
So more news to come on that.
He also – I think it was on Instagram he posted a photograph of his, you know, director's chair, Nate. So
filming
Uncharted,
has begun.
Yeah, which is – I don't think anybody really truly believed it was going to happen.
It's shifted a lot.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that no one really expected – to happen, looking at the top three for the box office for this year so far.
Okay, what is that?
So this is not re-release things.
Yeah.
This is all stuff pre-pandemic. So Doolittle is one of the biggest flops in recent memory. Okay. However, it's number three on the box office for
goodness,
the year.
This is crazy.
Despite losing Universal over $100 million in promotion.
Okay, yep.
Number two is Sonic, which was much better received and was good. And number one was Bad Boys for Life, which I watched at home and was good fun, but didn't make nearly as big a splash at the movies as it could have. It wasn't
Bad Boys for Life beat Sonic. That okay. I would have if I had to guess, I would have put them around the other way, but you have the figures.
There you go. So maybe if we get some more movies later in the year, which fingers crossed we will at some point, that may shift.
Mm.
But on the other hand, there's going to be a lot less people in the cinema. Because a lot less people can sit there.
That's true.
Less showings per day.
Yep.
It's not going to be the same.
No, it's not.
It's going to be years until we get back to potentially.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that there's a lot of talk at Paramount about making a Grease sequel called Summer Loving. So you know the song Summer Loving. They're going to make that into a movie.
Oh, good.
I understand why. Grease is huge. Even people love Grease 2. With Michelle Pfeiffer.
Never seen it.
I've seen it once. But the reason I didn't like it is because it didn't have any of the songs from Grease in it.
That's what you wanted.
That's
exactly the point, otherwise.
What I want.
What's the point?
Exactly. It's too much of an iconic musical to, well, for me, I mean, I know people will go and watch this. This will be,
be
a moneymaker.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, unless they sing all of the songs from Grease, I'm not sure I'm interested.
I've never made it through Grease.
Oh, I watched it over and over again as a kid. There are bits from that movie. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast. There are bits in that movie that me and Tidy, we assumed that when they were like saying, coming through, lady with a baby, they were using that as a ploy to get out of the, like, get through the crowd.
Yeah.
But it was actually because Rizzo thought she was pregnant. None of the pregnancy storyline hit home for us. It just went straight over our heads. Didn't even know that was a storyline.
because I didn't get into the film when I was younger, now I watch it and all I see is problematic moments.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's a lot of rape chat in that movie.
It's from the late 70s. It's set, I mean, in the 50s. I don't even know when the musical came. Like, it's old.
It was a different time. Like, I love Revenge of the Nerds. And I haven't watched that in...
I haven't watched it in years.
15 years. And I caught 10 minutes of it the other day and, like, oh, boy. Was that the things that I was, like...
The surveillance camera stuff?
That's what I mean. So much stuff in there. It was like, oh, when I was a kid, you saw this and it was just...
Funny.
Boys being boys.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't watch that. Oh, speaking of old stuff, I love a good auction where they auction off movie, TV show memorabilia because I always like to know how much stuff goes for. So David Hasselhoff signed a Knight Rider car from 1982. It made $192,000 at an auction. A Bilbo Baggins pipe thing sold for $28,000.
Yep.
A cape worn, like a Superman cape worn from Christopher Reeves back in the day. I think it was from either one or two of the first two movies, sold for $110,000. A lot of cool stuff. Oh, a spacesuit from Space Odyssey 2001, $370,000. I love knowing stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah. A lot of old, cool things. It also had like actual proper things that have gone into outer space thanks to NASA. A pilot control sticks, the one held by Neil Armstrong, $370,000. Buzz Aldrin got $256,000. Not bad.
Not bad.
And the other guy, Collins, I can't remember his name. No mention.
And friend.
Yeah, friend, that's right.
The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Have you watched any trailers?
Yes, I did. Look, I'm really psyched for... they only showed the trailer this morning. There's a documentary coming this weekend, one film. It's called Todd McFarlane, Like Hell I Won't. Now, Todd McFarlane is the creator of Spawn, comic book artist. He's responsible for – so he was the artist for Spider-Man in the 90s that was the first comic that ever sold a million copies.
Yeah, right.
Like, this guy is a huge name in comic books and very, very important. In the 90s, he split with – other creators from Marvel to go and make Image, which is the third biggest company now.
Yep.
And he also is the guy behind Todd McFarlane Toys, which may not mean a whole lot to you.
I've heard of them.
If you were into collectibles at all in the 90s, you had Todd McFarlane Toys. His stuff was on a different quality level and like really out there stuff. He has, he always comes across as a really nice guy, but he also he says quite openly in this trailer of, I have started corporations from anger.
So it's revenge setting up of businesses and corporations. Yeah. Amazing.
So he is fueled by people telling him no. So that's why this thing is called Like Hell I Won't. Because, you know, he came into Marvel and he got told, you can't draw this way. His stuff is up to that point, you stayed within the borders of the panels. Mm-hmm. So the white bits between panels on the page are called the gutters. Mm. You don't illustrate in the gutters. The only person that did that was bloody Sergey from Mad Magazine, who did the doodles in the
middle. Yeah, that's right.
You did not do this. And Todd came in and said, why? If I'm going to draw Spider-Man, he needs to be bursting out of those panels, the hands coming out, show the motion, show the movement, and revolutionized comic book thinking overnight.
Mm.
And Marvel were very slow to the party with that. So it was a big thing of him bailing to go with the rest of the Image guys and start their own company.
Yeah.
And yeah, he has hammered out Spawn since then. He's a real dude. Mm. I follow him on Facebook. He's great. He does live drawing classes most days.
Awesome.
And it's just like a 5-10 minute thing. Hey guys, today I'm going to show you how to draw the Rhino from Spider-Man. He's this really big bulky guy, so you want to start out with like fat ovals rather than the thin ones.
Is he doing it on paper or is he doing it like
he's got a light box.
Yeah.
So cool. It gets all scanned in this stuff for inking and things. But yeah, that is premiering this weekend on Sci-Fi. I believe they were going to show it at Comic-Con.
Right.
So it's one of those type things, but they've made a big push for it today on social media and stuff, and it looks really cool.
On Sci-Fi, okay.
Yeah. So a good way to think of it is this guy is Stan Lee 40 years later. mm-hmm. something like that. Like mm-hmm. he's been very, very prevalent, created his own universe of characters and then all these tie-ins around and just a great storyteller. So
fascinating. So I reckon fascinating even for people like me who I've heard the name.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's going to be – there's going to be some really interesting comic book history told from one of the six main people who caused the biggest revolution that ever happened.
That sounds awesome.
Yep.
Just really quickly, I just wanted us to comment about how during the pandemic, Netflix has managed to find itself an extra 10 million subscribers. So they're in a pretty good place to invest a lot of money in the new Russo brothers. Chris and Ryan. Yeah. Ryan Gosling,
Philippe.
Yeah, that's right. $200 million is the budget for the first movie. They want to make it a franchise, kind of like a Bond sort of franchise.
Sure. Look, I can see that. And then I can eventually do a crossover with Extraction and get Hemsworth in the mix.
Yeah. That'll be really cool.
We'll call it the NCU, the Netflix Cinematic Universe. You have Ryan Reynolds and his crew from that underground thing show up.
And, you know, you'll have the two Game of Thrones showrunners or whatever they were.
Ah, they can stay away.
Wanting to come out. We part of the group too, guys.
Maybe Sandra Bullock can wander in the background of a shot with a blindfold
on. Yeah. Yes. And somebody please make it Chris Hemsworth has to say something like, who's that Sheila over there?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe Wes goes insane, right? Hear me out. Wes goes insane and takes over, like takes Nailed It hostage.
Right.
And Hemsworth and Evan and whoever he is in this new film have to team up and storm there to save Nicole Byer and Jacques.
And who's going to be the guest judge that episode?
It's got to be big. It's got to be good.
What about Adam Scott?
Oh, yeah, I like that. That was he's always good when he's
always good. Yeah, and he's a big enough name.
All right, I'm going to complicate things.
Who are the contestants?
Adam Scott is the replacement host.
Right.
Because Jason Mantzoukas was supposed to be the extra one on.
Right.
But he went mad with Wes, maybe smoking crystal meth in the car park beforehand, and it's the two of them that have done Airheads style. Remember Airheads?
Yeah, with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, where that's where it's happening. Netflix, give us a bell.
We've written it for you, yeah.
Hey, I've got one last story.
Okay.
And it's a bit – I'm just going to read it all because so much of it is great. So Disney Plus are rebooting Home Alone. We knew about this. They've announced the cast and confirmed some cast. So the ones they've announced before, Rob Delaney and Ellie Kemper are playing the parents.
That's right, yep.
The new Culkin character or the kid – he was the best friend, Yorkie, in Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, right.
With the big glasses who had armor made from cardboard.
Okay. Because that is the scary casting, I think.
That's what I mean. So I can't even remember his name, but I talked through that character and you know who I mean.
Yeah.
So he's playing the Kevin. Apparently this time he's involved with a fight with someone because he's stolen an action figure from their house or something along those lines. So it's a little bit of Jingle All the Way. Mm-hmm. Something like that in there in the mix. Other cast members involved: Kenan Thompson, Chris Parnell.
Nice.
I believe Chris Parnell is going to be playing the uncle, like the dickhead uncle character and something.
I can see that.
Irish actress Aisling Bea, who's on 8 out of 10 Cats.
She's got dark hair.
Yes.
Yep.
Pete Holmes, very funny comedian. He had a talk show a couple of years ago, and he's got a show on HBO, Crashing. His wife divorces him and he goes around crashing on different comedians' couches.
Yeah, right.
It's an acquired taste. I really enjoy it, but it's very slow, except for this one episode that TJ Miller that is a lot to take in. Okay. Timothy Simmons from Veep.
Yep.
And SNL writer Mikey Day, who's also co-writing it with someone named Streeter Seidel, which is a good name.
That is a good name.
I wrote all that down because it's a good list of people and they are –
it's got SNL alumni in there.
It's got some SNL. You've got Rob Delaney, and you know he's going to happily punch up a script. Basically, everyone involved there could punch up the script by themselves. So it makes me feel like there's going to be some solid improv done.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got the guy from Veep in. Mikey Day is a funny dude. So
I really hope they let Chris Parnell mess with that character just a little.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you ever see Hot Rod? That's the one with Andy Samberg as a stuntman.
I don't think I've seen it.
Chris Parnell shows up in like the last 4 minutes of that film and absolutely steals it. Kind of like Jason Bateman in the Dodgeball movie where he's the commentator.
Yes.
Where everyone remembers that. If you've seen Hot Rod, you remember how good Chris Parnell is.
Okay. Yeah. That's another thing to put on the list of things to watch.
Hot Rod is great. Then if you watch that, you'll understand why I say cool beans all the time. Cool beans.
Right. You do say it a lot. Cool, I just thought beans. You thought beans were cool.
No, it's from a movie.
They are pretty cool though, right?
They are quite cool. Unless they're baked beans.
And then they're hot.
But unless they're cold.
Then they're cool again. It's a full circle. It's a full circle. Are we ready?
Yeah, we've fully circled our way out of the news.
To get into...
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I'm just going to delete that big long story out of my list so I never think about it again until the movie comes out and I go, oh, yeah, there's a new Home Alone.
We can't be getting it the end of this year, but next year is a potential, I guess.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Just give it a burl, Merle. Okay, so there's a show. This happens to a lot of people. You start watching a show, you're like, this show's pretty nice. And then for no apparent reason, you just fall off it. And then you go, oh, a few months ago I was watching that show. I might start back up again.
Yep.
And it's exactly what I did with, I think it was HBO, High Maintenance.
Sure.
The show set in and around New York. It's got amazing people in it, but the main character is the guy.
He's the guy.
That's all he's known as, the guy.
Old mate.
Old mate, exactly. He may or may not be in every episode. And if you finish an episode and go, did I see that guy in it? And he may have just been in it for like 30 seconds.
Right.
But he is the running theme because it started back in 2016 and he sells weed around you know, the city in Brooklyn and whatnot. So he's got all these different customers that he goes and visits, and they're all really eclectic characters, and we may focus in on one character for one episode and just talk, like, get a snapshot of their life, and then we never see them again. Or we may see that character in one episode and then we'll see them two seasons later come back and they're like, hey, I've got this camper van that I don't really want. Do you want it? And he's like, cool, all right. And the stories weave in and out. You can watch episodes individually.
Yep.
You don't, there's not running storylines that you must watch. It's a super chill show that I usually watched. It's usually the last thing I watch of an evening. And I just sit there, put the heater on, watch it and go, they're half hour tops, maybe 20 minutes episodes. You go, all right. That's great. Now I can go to bed.
Nice. It's a good time for easy watching.
It's easy watching. I think you will really enjoy it because there's so many actors in there that you're just going to be like, oh, you didn't tell me that person was in it. And the reason I didn't tell you is because there's so many people I've forgotten.
All right. And then I can have the surprise myself.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I've only seen the first episode. I've got episode 2 ready to go tonight of a new show called Cannonball. Which is a real comfort food show as well. Not comfort food, but it's basically Wipeout in the US.
I was going to say, it sounds like a bit of a Floor is Lava kind of thing.
So it's outdoor. It's a knockout, Wipeout, that whole thing.
This is perfect.
But it's like tweaked up. It's some of the most hardcore of that stuff I've seen. Like there's one bit. So the very first round, you've got to lay. It's all water sports stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not like climb on this and balance over. It's like, yeah. Hey, we've created this 7-story tall lubed up slide that you've got to slide down, and then we've got some buoys at the end and you've got to try and shoot your way through and not smash into the wall. So there's that, or there's like, hey, we're going to slingshot you into the air and you've got to undo the carabiner at the right point of the apex so that you fly and land inside this target.
How many chances do people get?
One.
You only get one. So are these contestants going through each section together and getting eliminated, or like how does it work? Is it
groups?
Is it teams?
No, there's no teamwork or anything. There's eliminations that go through right to one winner at the end.
Very much like Wipeout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, man.
Are you laughing though? You're laughing hell through yeah. it? Yeah.
Because these people are getting pummeled.
Yeah, I bet they do.
And it's kind of, it's not ha-ha like Takeshi's Castle style mm-hmm. where you'd see people and you'd get, man, that hurt.
Jeez, I could watch that show again.
Yeah, but there's like one woman slingshots herself in the air and mistimes it so she lands directly on her butt into the water from like real high and comes out and she's like, well, I just shot water up my anus. Like that's her, well, I just shot water up my anus to the camera.
Quote of the season.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That sounds exactly like if you have crammed, like absolutely binge watched Flora's Lava and you're like,
move
I
on
need.
To this. Yep.
Where are you watching it? Are you watching it on iTunes?
I did get it from iTunes. It's hosted by The Miz from the wrestling. You wouldn't know him. He's very – he plays a bad guy a lot of the time because he's so good at being smarmy.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, he's having a whale of a time reading from an auto cue. I don't think he's even at the location. Okay. I'm not sure. But – It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I'll be back.
How did you find? Like, did you just stumble upon it, or is it sort of been in your periphery?
Episode one was up for free on iTunes.
Oh,
it's like hey,
what a way to watch. Yeah.
Everyone, if you want to see some fuckers get hurt, have a go. Wrap your laughing gear around this. And I was instantly like, episode two, bye.
Yeah.
Yes.
That sounds,
add to queue. Oh. Cannonball.
They're the kind of shows you need to watch.
Mm. Well, we rinsed Flora's Lava in like. A night.
It's very easy to do.
This is only 10 episodes.
Mm. The other show, well, it's not a show, it's a movie that I watched was the Netflix Will Ferrell, Rachel McAdams movie about Eurovision.
Yes.
Where they play Icelandic people from a small village who want to go and compete for Iceland or on behalf of Iceland as Iceland in the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, I'm sure this movie was supposed to come out around the time Eurovision was supposed to be on.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. But it's a really nice substitute because you'll see people that have either won or have been in Eurovision over the past few years come in. There's this great sort of musical number at one point. You're like, and I don't know if they're doing an Icelandic accent very well, but my goodness, it looks genuine to someone from Australia.
Sure. Yeah. Having a bit of fun with the mumbles.
Right. That's right. You've got Pierce Brosnan playing Will Ferrell's father, which is hilarious because he's like the lad around town or was the lad around town. So Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams will often introduce themselves as this is maybe my sister. This might be my brother because they don't know. Because, yeah, his dad's quite busy, I'll say. But, yeah, very, very fun movie. There's this song that's supposed to be like this old Icelandic Eurovision song that's a favourite in the town called Ya Ya Ding Dong.
I've heard this song.
It doesn't exist. Will Ferrell wrote it.
That's what I mean. I saw that Will Ferrell
clip.
Yeah.
Because it honestly sounds like it could have been a Eurovision Song Contest entry in the 1970s.
It's good.
It was a very fun movie. I thought it was just going to be fine, but I really enjoyed it.
I heard nothing but positive things about that film.
It's worth a watch.
The first trailer had me amped. The second trailer made me go, I think I saw a lot of the movie then.
Mm,
and I haven't gotten
to
it yet, but people I trust are like, this was a good, fun film.
Yeah, I think it's probably either a Saturday, Sunday night watched it and it hit everything that needed to be hit.
Nice.
Yeah, I finished with a smile on my face.
Well, I intend to watch that. I also intend to watch The Old Guard, which is the mm-hmm. new Charlize Theron.
I want to watch that too.
I've read the comic of that. Well, I've read the first series. The second series is still unfolding at the moment.
I haven't heard a bad thing about it.
I'm keen to see it.
Yeah.
I think maybe we'll talk about it next week.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Deal. Have you watched anything else?
Well, one other thing I'll tell you about. So I mentioned a few weeks ago that Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe is going back out. So that has kicked off Dirty Jobs Road Trip.
Yeah.
ROW'D.
Okay.
Sorry, ROWE, that's his surname.
Yep.
And it's an odd mix. I like it, but it's a very odd beast of a show. So it's a highlights package of, you know, each week is one theme, The first episode I saw was about American infrastructure. The second one was about tight spaces.
Okay.
And it's...
So it's really different from what they used to do.
So what they used to do is they would find one theme generally and visit two places an episode and spend a lot of time with them. So what this one is instead is between, I'll say, 6 and 8 different jobs throughout the episode. And it's a highlight package, you know, of, you know, these are some of the tightest places I've been in and this sort of stuff. But also zooming with some of those people to see them now, 10, 15 years later, what they're doing. But at the same time, Mike, his producer, the two cameramen, the sound guy are in this RV driving around.
That's what they showed in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be actually going to too many of the places that are
interesting.
They've filmed at and stuff before, but they're going around and seeing and reminiscing and seeing what reminds them of places. And
right.
I thought it was them going to be going and filming with people again.
That's like what I thought, yeah.
But they're brilliantly – this is just a way of getting around so they don't need to be in a studio all day. It's really, really clever.
So it's not all a Zoom interview.
No, exactly. Yeah. So they do a little bit of Zoom normally from the back of the RV, or they pull up at a picnic table and do it there and this sort of stuff. But a lot of it is just, hey, Bursky, what are you – remember that time we got stuck up in that lighthouse? And that was crazy. And they talk a bit about that. Then they show 3 minutes of that stuff and then come back and talk more behind. It's really nice.
So it works?
It works. Hmm. It's entirely because of his personality that it works and how affable and old boy charm he is. Your mileage may vary. For people of you know, he's a very traditionalist and he's he's not right-wing by any stretch, but he's far more traditionalist and this sort of stuff with his views.
Mm.
Talks about a lot of that on social. So some people might rub the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's Dirty Jobs. His style has always been a very welcome viewing for me. I just find him very affable. I grew up around road construction and everything. I know those people.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Interesting. It's interesting that it's ended up like that, but at the same time, it's not surprising. Like, they've obviously really talked with each other, you know, in pre-production, going, right, how are we going to get around this?
Look, he's been doing this type of thing for years. On his Facebook, he does good news stories all the time and will just grab his camera crew and go out somewhere where he's heard a news story and film some footage and put it together, a package, and put it on his Facebook. That's it. So it's using all the skills he's had in the past and this sort of stuff. But it's just cool to see someone doing something. It would have been very easy to do a highlights package that was just chop it up and have him 30 seconds at either end talking to camera. Hey, today I'm going to show you this. Enjoy it. See you after the show.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yeah, put a bit of effort.
Yeah.
Bit of effort behind it. Anything else?
Nah, that'll do you.
I did say... not so much a quiz today, not even a would you rather. It's a who would win. So I want us to sort of talk it out who we reckon would win, like, in head-to-head between this lot. So I can't remember. We said something about a champ at the beginning.
We did say about a champ.
A champ. Who would be champ? Champ, champ, something like that. So first one, Laszlo or Nadja in a vampire hissing contest. They do it a lot, those two. Probably
more than
anybody else in the show. Even though, I mean, it's those two for sure.
I think I have to go for Laszlo.
I think I have to go for Nadja because I just remember she would do it a lot when she would see people. Do you remember her, what was his name? Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
She would, you know, and she'd see Jeff talking to somebody. And I can see that being an episode as well.
Mm.
A vampire hissing competition.
Mm.
So why do you think Laszlo?
Well, he's got that voice And I just, I don't know. I would like to hang
you
out
there. Get behind it.
I get behind the voice, and yep. I just think the quick change from the happy-go-lucky voice to hissing.
That's true. All right, what about Billy Joel or Elton John in a piano solo but live on stage? Now, quick disclaimer, they may have done this because I know they did do a tour together, but I wasn't at any of those concerts. So for me, this is fresh, new ideas. Piano solo.
So you're like when Daffy and Donald battle in
exactly
Who Framed Roger
That's
Rabbit.
Exactly what it is. Yeah, and at the end it's like it is decided by crowd applause.
It's got to be Elton, because Elton would put in the effort to write something new. Billy just he doesn't write new songs.
So you reckon Billy be like, I'm just going to do a piano solo at the end of We didn't start the fire. The fire was started. Fire Starter,
yes.
By the Prodigy.
Yes.
And then he'll do a piano solo at the end of that where Elton will be like, this is a new song. I've called it Piano Solo.
Yep. Yeah. And just how can he respond to that?
Yeah, that's true.
You?
I was going to say Billy Joel. The only reason this came into my head is because I saw footage of him. He's just walking down a sidewalk, and he sees a piano. This is recent, like in the last week.
Mm.
And it's just been left out to be chucked out on the footpath. And he started playing it. He's like, there's nothing wrong with this. It's a bit out of tune, but it works. And I think he was trying to find the owner because he's speaking to some guy off camera, and he's like, No, you should just take that. There's a Goodwill just down the road. Just take it down there. They'll find someone for it. They'll take Billy Joel playing. But I think he did play Piano Man or something on it. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're spot on with that one. Okay, this is the 1980s, and we've got Tom Cruise and Matthew Broderick.
Broderick.
Wearing glasses competition, sunglasses. Like where they bring the shades down their nose,
Broderick.
Look at you, back up again, every day of the week?
Every day of the week.
It's just that Tom wore so many different pairs. He had like the aviator ones, he had the Ray-Bans.
Yeah, but he didn't do it talking to camera.
Where
Broderick gets to do a bit of that and like look into your soul.
Yeah, that's true. They're both two iconic 80s sunglass wearers,
This is very true.
Yeah.
I've never been a big Ray-Bans man though. They're too broad and circular for my face. I always need an angular, square, rectangular glass.
Yeah, the glasses you've got at the moment, that's a nice shape. Yeah.
I got a box head. Good for radio.
Good for box head wearing. Okay. So you're Broderick and I'm Tom Cruise for that one. All right, let's go cooking. We've got Nigella Lawson or Guy Fieri. Who can do the look like they've tasted food literally from heaven better? Because they both do it. He's sort of like, he eats it and he puts his head back and he's
Yeah, and he's named a fucking place after it, Flavortown.
But Nigella, like her scenes of her trying her own food go on for like half the episode. She's
they
like,
do.
And then they love it so much.
She could do like ASMR porn.
She really could.
Like, and now you can touch my panini.
Even when she's chopping herbs, she goes,
She knows what she's up to. She knows what she's up to. But Guy Fieri, for me, every time.
All right. Oh, I'm going
to
go Nigella.
I've been to his restaurant. I haven't been to any of Nigella's restaurants.
She doesn't have one, does she? Does she? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm someone who goes to Guy Fieri's restaurant.
Yeah, okay. Why, you're not going to go to Nigella.
Why
She's
would I know
one.
If Nigella's got a restaurant?
It's not a place. Okay.
I will show up. Take me to the Flavortown trough here in this Las Vegas casino, please.
This one is a little left of field, so go with me on it. Emperor Palpatine or the Joker, who would win in a presidential debate? Now, I'll tell you why I've chosen the Joker. Because even though Emperor Palpatine's very good at talking his way, I mean, he's been in politics before.
Yes.
But I think the Joker can get under his skin and throw him.
Sure.
Off his game.
Are you implying that he's booby-trapped a book, or perhaps there's some poison in a flower and he says, smell this flower on my lapel?
That's pretty good. I even just think just kind of like siblings, you know, like for example, the Emperor will be there. He'll be saying something and you just hear the Joker going,
oh, trying to talk to the Joker is like holding mercury.
Yeah.
It's poisonous and it doesn't stay still. It's not, yeah, it's chaos.
Do you think if there's anyone, though, would the Emperor be able to just free, like block him out completely, shut him off?
You have to talk to the Senate. he could levitate himself out of ears range.
Wouldn't it be great if he
could electrocute
got Darth Vader? He's like, can you just pick the Joker up and throw him down that hole?
Or just lock him in your little chamber thing. That Vader likes to chill in.
Yeah.
Just pop him in.
His egg.
Yeah.
All right, this is the final one. Chris Hemsworth or Hugh Jackman in the best retaining of their Australian accent competition. Because you can't talk to people like Kylie Minogue. Don't even get me started on Nicole Kidman's because hers goes all over the shop.
All right. That is a really good question. Up until this year, it would have been Hugh Jackman 200% because you see him and stuff. Like, even just last week, I was watching him. He was doing an online Zoom with, I think it was Perth. I can't remember what their acting school was.
Wacker?
Yeah,
no.
Wacker, I think.
Or is Wacker the cricket ground? Anyway.
Wacker's cricket. It might be.
Wagger?
Wapper.
Wapper?
Wapper.
Yeah.
Western Australian Performing Arts.
That's it.
Something like that. So anyway, he's doing a similar. And he's.
He's an alumni there.
Yes. And even then. So American friends listen and this sort of stuff. I've talked about it before. My actual accent is a lot more like that. But I did a lot of media training and stuff. And so I learned to talk clearer and get out of my nose. Hugh Jackman, when he's talking to another Aussie, is instantly back up at his nose.
Yeah.
Keith Urban, all of them do it.
Yeah, Keith Urban too. That's true. All of us do it. I thought of him.
Hemsworth, though, in Extraction, there is a moment where someone comes in and he turns and in the most Aussie accent goes, get fucked. And that's it.
That is the most
Australian performance I've ever seen on screen of just this one moment of him get fucked.
I reckon though he's definitely got home advantage because he still lives here.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's constantly surrounding himself with other accents.
No, maybe Zac Efron because he's probably lurking around Byron and Matt Damon comes down whenever he can.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be here now. They wouldn't let him through.
But Efron is. They're not confirming it. They won't confirm it, but he's here.
I'm sure I've seen a blurry photograph that looked like it could be him.
Oh, look, apparently he was thinking about moving here at the beginning of the year anyway, and then he was here recovering from that show he did over in...
That's right.
Wherever, the survivalist one.
Yeah.
And then lockdown happened, and apparently he's just loved it so much that he might just stay. He's got a great dad beard at the moment.
I've seen the beard. He looks so different to how he used to look.
Yep.
Yet I think because he's been in movies over the years, it's not been a huge shock. But, you know, now people are starting to compare him, like do the face, you know, one side A, here's High School Musical, side B, here he is potentially in Byron Bay. And you're like, whoa.
And then you throw in super jacked one from Neighbours.
Baywatch as well. Remember, he was huge in that.
He's had a few different stages of heartthrobness, but this new one is it's not even dad bob, like he's still jacked, but it's just the beard is like I sell insurance by day and I crush women by night.
Oh, that was good fun. I think our two new segments have gone really well.
Good. I feel like you've only tapped 10, maybe 15% of the potential that you could. We can leak
each
more.
Week. Yeah. More will be revealed. If you have any quiz or these kind of ideas, you can send them to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Until then, Tom, thank you.
By Grabthar's hammer, you shall be avenged.